The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
And at this time, I want to welcome all of our podcast audience. I want to welcome our YouTubers, our Rumble audience, and again, of course, Facebook Live. If you are able to comment under the section below on the platform that you're watching from, please again let us know if you are A, new to the broadcast, and B, where you guys are joining us from. Today, we've got an interesting topic today. I want to talk about what is the unpardonable sin. In 21 years of ministry, I have discovered that there is basically two camps of beliefs on this. And one is predominant and the other is not. And you'll be shocked to know which camp is right. So let's just get after this thing today and talk about this. So here's our scripture today. Our foundational scripture is going to be out of the book of Matthew chapter 12. Sorry, I'm trying to pull up the screen here, guys, for you guys that are listening by podcast. That's why we pause there for a minute, because we have on the visuals of this, we pull up PowerPoint images and different images so that people can follow along. Here's the scripture for this, Matthew chapter 12, 22 through 37. Before we get into this, I want to emphasize that context of scripture is everything. Let me say that again. Context of scripture is everything. One of the worst things we can do as believers, and I've seen it over and over again, is that we just pull and take from passages and we quote scriptures completely out of context to justify arguments and to validate certain things that we are teaching or talking about. So we don't want to be guilty of that. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 12, verses 22, all the way to verse 31. Why are we going to do that? So we can get the complete picture of what we're talking about today. So here's what it says. And then one was brought to him. Him here is Jesus, who was demon possessed, blind and mute. And he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And listen to this. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the Son of David? Or in other words, the Son of Man, the Messiah, Yeshua, the one who's been foretold. But look at verse 24. Now, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this man or this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Now, why is this important to talk about this? So before we get into a little bit more detail, I want to emphasize something here. So we see that Jesus cast out demons out of a demon-possessed blind and mute, that he both spoke and saw. And as a result of this, the multitudes were amazed and said, this could be the Son of Man, the Son of David. But then there was another group who was the religious Pharisees, and they were offended because a miracle had taken place that was not happening in their camp. And because something supernatural was taking place and turning the attention off of the religious crowd to this Son of Man, the Messiah, Jesus, even though a notable miracle had been done, they accused him of casting out devils by the working of Satan. Now, this is so important that you hear that when we get into this thing. And they actually said that he did it by the work of Beelzebub. Now, what in the world is Beelzebub? Beelzebub was the name of a demonic fly who was also known as the Lord of the Flies. According to a little bit of a historical background on this. The god of the, this was the god of the Philistine city of Ekron, a Canaanite god. The Jews would commonly mock idols by giving them what would be deemed as repulsive names. One, for example, one common name that was given was Zebel, meaning dung or dunghill. So this, in essence, this was a great insult. So now, why am I telling you that? Because when they accused Jesus of casting out demons by the work of Beelzebub, this was an insult to Jesus directly. They directly insulted him. They directly slandered him, defamed him. But listen to this. But Jesus, now I'm in verse 25 of Matthew 12, 25. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? And listen to what he says. Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, I'm going to say this again because this is important. He says, but if I cast out demons by the what? The Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Verse 29, or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house? Verse 30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Now, why did he say that? Because if you go to the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 and 39, John comes to Jesus, and he tells him directly, Master, we saw someone who does not follow us. In other words, they're not part of our group. Can I bring it down to modern vernacular? They're not part of our denomination. They're not part of our church. They're not on the church registry. We don't see them in attendance. And he says to them, he says, teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name. And we forbade him because he does not follow us, or he's not part of our denomination. He's not part of our church. But Jesus said to him, do not forbid him. For no one works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. All that, you guys missed it right there. Let me say that again. No, listen what Jesus said. This is such deep revelation. No one who works a miracle in my name. In other words, we're not talking about the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, who was trying to cast out devils in the name of Paul and the name of Jesus. And those demons manifested and said, Paul, we know, and Jesus, we know, but who are you? And those devils manifested and they tore those clothes off those boys, and those boys left naked and humiliated, and they were bruised and whipped up on by these demons because they had no personal relationship with Jesus and they try to cast out devils. Now, that's not who Jesus is talking about here. What he's saying here is, if you see someone with a personal relationship with Christ, even though they may not be in your denomination, they may not be in your church, they may not go to the same church in your neighborhood or in your community. Come on, they may not be a Baptist like you, they may not be a charismatic like you, they might not be a Pentecostal like you, but if they are casting out devils in the name of Jesus, and they are successful and they're bearing fruit. Listen what he says. If they are working a miracle in my name, they will not afterward speak evil of me. In other words, you're not going to see somebody casting out devils and then turn right around and call Jesus a devil or Beelzebub. You're not going to see that. That's not what's going to happen. And this is what he's talking about here. You're not going to see someone cast out devils and then blaspheme the Lord. And this is what John talked about. Let me give you another scripture. Okay. Some of y'all's, I can tell, I know I can't see you, but some of y'all's looking at me funny today or listening and looking funny. Listen, 1 John 4:1-3. 1 John 4:1-3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Listen to verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, is now already in the world. Now, but we have a problem, because we've got a lot of people in the church today who will say they're a Christian. They will say they're a believer. They'll say they're a part of a certain camp. They're a part of a denomination. And they will be guilty of the same thing that these Pharisees were guilty of in Matthew chapter 12. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about they will see a notable miracle. Blind eyes open. Ears open. Cancer being healed, a paralytic getting up, a creative miracle through the Holy Spirit, and they will turn right around and instead, because, listen to this, oh, this is good, guys, because they have been taught by their denomination, by their seminary, or by their church that miracles have ceased, that healing has ceased. And so when they see and hear or experience a miracle in front of them, they will quickly default to what they know without questioning it and being a good Berean and searching out the scriptures to see if these things be so. And they will quickly use their tongue and they will call the works of God the working of Satan. Let me just read on here. Matthew chapter 12. Let me pull up this scripture. I'm going to pull this up because I want you to see this. This is Matthew chapter 12. We're still in Matthew chapter 12. Let me give you the latter portion of Matthew 12. Remember what I told you at the beginning of this podcast? I said context is everything. Context is everything. So let's recap real quick for 30 seconds. We have Jesus casting out devils, performing miracles. You have two different camps. You have one camp that's embracing it. They are in jubilation. They are praising the Son of Man, the Son of God, for seeing these miracles take place. Then you've got another camp that are calling the works of God or the works of the Spirit of God the works of Satan. Now we come down to verse 31. Therefore, I say to you, listen to this, every sin, I said every sin, and every blasphemy. Now, what's the word blasphemy mean? What's blasphemy mean? By definition, the word blasphemy in Greek is blasphemia. And it means to slander, to accuse, or to speak against using insulting or derogatory words with the purpose or intent to injure, to harm one's reputation. And it can be done by ignorance or on purpose. The Apostle Paul, in his letters, you can read it in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul testified that he caused many Christians to blaspheme, but he did it out of ignorance because he had zeal without knowledge. He had passion, but he was doing it out of ignorance. He thought he was doing a good deed in the name of religion. So what was he doing? He was persecuting Christians. He was burning down churches. He was getting letters to arrest them and to kill them. He was standing there when Stephen was stoned to death. And he thought he was doing God's work, but he was doing it out of ignorance. Okay? So again, the word blasphemy, it comes from the Greek blasphemia, and it means to slander, accuse, and speak against in an insulting manner or a derogatory way with the sole purpose or intent to injure one or injure or harm one's reputation. So listen to this. The religious crowd wanted to insult, injure, and ruin the reputation of Jesus because he was a threat to their denomination, if you would, in modern vernacular. He was a threat to their church. He was a threat to their power. He was a threat to their platform. He was a threat to everything that they had built and the reputation that they had. And because the eyes and the attention was being drawn away from them and to, come on, Yeshua, they were going to do everything they could, even if it meant blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Verse 31, let me go back to this. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and every blasphemy will be forgiven of men. Here it is. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven of men. Verse 32, in case you don't understand what he's saying and you need a little bit more deeper insight, verse 32, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven of him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, now what does he mean against speak against it? Blasphemy, insulting it, calling the works of the Holy Spirit the working of Satan. How did Jesus perform miracles, signs, wonders, and healing? He did it through the power, and that word power in Greek is dunamis, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me pull this off so you can see me for a second. Jesus was led in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. There he was tempted of the devil, but the Bible says that he came out, he entered into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit. It was the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and I and quickens, makes alive our mortal bodies. Why do we have this power in us? Why do we have the Holy Spirit in us? So that we can do the same works as Christ Jesus. And yes, that means casting out devils, raising the dead, and healing the sick. Now, but you've got a whole denomination out there that teaches, when you teach on this, I'll see them in the comments. And they'll say, no. The only blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the blasphemy, the unpardonable sin is rejecting salvation. No, it is not. People reject salvation all the time, guys, and God gives them another chance, and he gives them another chance. Why? Because he loves them, and he chases them. The Bible says even when the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me go back to the scripture again. Let me read this again. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. So when you're rejecting salvation, you are blaspheming Jesus, because that's the message. That he died and rose again on the third day, and he was raised unto life. So let me give you the Bible, John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him may be saved. But this is the condemnation, that they are condemned already who do not accept the salvation message. This is not blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The message of Jesus is eternal life through him. Let me read it again. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven of men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven of him, either in this age or the age to come. Thus, it is the unpardonable sin. Now remember, I told you, context is everything. Notice Matthew 12:22-31. All this is in the same context of Jesus performing a miracle through the power of the Holy Spirit, and religious Pharisees calling the working of the Spirit the working of Satan. And Jesus quickly tells them that men will be forgiven of all sins and all blasphemies, but anyone who blasphemes the working of the Spirit has committed the unpardonable sin. Now listen, before everyone freaks out and says, oh my goodness, have I committed the unpardonable sin? Listen to me. I got a quick way to answer that for you. If you are concerned that you have committed the unpardonable sin, you would not be even concerned if you had already done it. Let me say that again, real slow. Listen, if you have committed the unpardonable sin, there would be no concern of whether or not you have committed this. Because if you truly have committed the unpardonable sin, then you have grieved and quenched and vexed the Holy Spirit completely out of your life, where you will go around and you will call everything of God the working of Satan. Now, guys, in case you've never met these people, I've met them. They've been on Facebook Live with us. They've been in the YouTube comment sections. They've been everywhere, and I've met them in church. You'll get a sister come and she's sick with cancer, and the church will gather around her and they'll pray with her with the anointing oil and pray the prayer of faith over her. She goes back to the doctor. They can't find any trace of cancer. She's giving God glory. The whole church is in celebration with her. But you've got that group of Pharisees that will poo-poo her testimony and say that it was not of God and it was the working of Satan, or it was deception. And when you get to the root cause of why they believe this, it's because they've been taught this from their church and from their denomination. But I'm trying to bring clarity to you today and tell you that you need, listen, if you come across a miracle, something taking place that's supernatural, it's best that you keep your mouth shut and just keep it shut versus open your mouth and call something that is of God or the working of the spirit of the working of Satan. Now, listen, we can do this out of ignorance. I'm pretty sure we've all probably been guilty of this, where something looked unorthodox or it was unfamiliar. Now, I want to remind you, in the Bible, Jesus many times did things that was unorthodox, that was not based on the traditions of men, and it was not common in that day. For example, there was one man that was blind. Jesus spat in some mud and rubbed it in his eyes. Now, could you imagine seeing that in church? Then even in the Old Testament, a man was told to go and dip himself 7 times in a dirty river. Now, could you imagine that today in church? And we see these stories. We see the Apostle Paul and the other disciples taking handkerchiefs or pieces of cloth from their bodies and anointing them and dispersing them out. And demons are expelled from the anointing that was transferable onto the piece of cloth or to the handkerchief. And demons were expelled and miracles were done and healings were performed. Yet if somebody does that in the church today, we call it the working of Satan, deception, or false. Guys, I'm telling you, I'm going to do a whole teaching on this probably on Thursday or Friday. God is still in the healing business. God is still in the miracle working business. And I'm sick and tired of sensationists going around and blaspheming the Holy Spirit, either willfully or ignorantly. And I will listen. Why am I teaching this? Because I don't want anybody that follows our ministry, I don't want you guilty of this. So again, why do you think Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 36, he said, I say to you, every idle word that men will speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. Let me say that again for the back row. I say to you, every idle word that men speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. So again, well, I don't know if that's God. Then just keep your mouth shut. Well, I don't know about that. Just keep your mouth shut. Listen to this. Book of Acts. In the book of Acts, the disciples, there's a story in the book of Acts chapter 5 where the disciples that God is working through them to perform miracles, signs, and wonders, and the gospel is being preached, and many are coming to the Lord. And of course, the common people loved it and embraced it, and the religious people rose up against it. In verse 33 of Acts 5, it says, when they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill the disciples. And then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel. By the way, this was a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and the Apostle Paul, he sat directly under Gamaliel. This was his rabbi. This was his teacher. Listen what it says. He commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while, and he said to them, now who's them? The religious crowd. Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Thetis rose up claiming to be somebody, or Thetis, however you pronounce it. A number of men, about 400, joined him, and he was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. And after this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the day of the census and drew many away and many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, listen to the advice that this rabbi gave. I say to you, keep away from these men and leave them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even find yourself fighting against God. Now, in case you missed it, this is the same thing that Jesus told the disciples. Come on, somebody. In the book of Luke, chapter 9. When they said, Master, someone is casting out devils in your name, but they're not part of us. And he said, leave them alone. And he says that he who is not against us is on our side, but he that is for us is with us. A house divided among itself cannot stand. But yet, all the time, every day, every week, on every social media platform, we see this over and over and over again. It grieves me. And could you imagine how bad it's grieving the Spirit of the Lord? When people take to their keyboards, take to their phones, and they're calling the working of the Spirit the works of Satan. And they are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And they are committing the unpardonable sin. And listen to me, friends. I want to close with this. If it's being done out of ignorance, God will forgive them. But if they are willfully doing it, and they are doing it with the intent to defame, to ruin the reputation of another minister, another gospel, another denomination, another church, another pastor, another evangelist, apostle, a prophet, a teacher. If that's their intent, then they are in danger of hellfire, my friend. And that is what we wanted to get across to you today. So I hope you've taken this to heart today. I hope that you will. And maybe you're watching this today. This is how we're going to pray today. Maybe you're watching this today and the Holy Spirit has convicted you, and you know in your heart that you have committed this unknowingly. You have done this out of ignorance. Listen, this is all you got to do, guys. You just ask the Lord, forgive me for speaking against the Holy Spirit and calling the working of the Spirit of God the working of Satan. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Help me to understand and try the Spirit of God. And Lord, if I'm not sure, help me to keep my mouth shut and remain silent and know that if it's of God, there's nothing I can do to stop it. If it's not of God, it will be brought to nothing. Just as the rabbi instructed, and just like Jesus told us. And Father, we pray this today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Guys, we want to give you some information again, as always, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. We're going to continually pound this in your head, guys. We don't want you to rely on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and all these other social media giant platforms. We want you to download our free app. If you've not done that, go to the App Store, either on Apple or Android, get it into your hands, download it for free, sign up, push yes to push notifications. Right there, when you get it into your hands, you're going to be able to catch up all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as listen and watch all of our messages. You can listen to our podcast and you can watch them on the app right there where it says watch. Currently, right now, as of August 31st today, that is connected to our YouTube channel. But we are in the process of transitioning away from YouTube to Rumble. If you've not yet followed us and subscribed to us on Rumble, please go and do that after this broadcast. Do it today. They have an app. You can go on your laptop, your desktop, your phone, download that app, get into your hands, find us, go under pages, or I'm sorry, channels, under channels, look for End Time Headlines. You're going to see our official logo right there, our trademark logo, End Time Headlines. Subscribe to us, hit that bell notification, because this is what we're replacing our watch segment with. Why? Because we're sick and tired of censorship. We've had videos removed from YouTube. We've had them censored. And there's going to be messages that we're going to have that's going to be exclusively on Rumble that will not be on YouTube. Now, does that mean we're going to completely remove our YouTube channel? No, it'll still be up. Videos will still be uploaded there, and we're going to ride out that boat until it sinks. One day it will sink. If you actually think, and you're naive to think that YouTube and Google and Facebook and Twitter and all these other platforms, if you think they're going to allow the gospel to continue to be preached on these platforms forever, then you are naive, ignorant, or arrogant, because it's not going to happen. Eventually it will cease and it will end. And this is why we're putting out the life jackets. Also, find us on Telegram. Telegram is, I enjoy Telegram. It's very straight to the point, straightforward. You'll get every headline there. They won't be lost in some algorithm. You'll be able to comment there. You'll be able to interact with people there. So go find End Time Headlines on Telegram. Again, just type in End Time Headlines. Look for us. Look for the logo and download that. And as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity. If you have not prayed about becoming a monthly partner, you can do that today. Pray about becoming a monthly partner to help us and continue to do what we're doing. Everything is free. The messages are free. The platform is free. The subscription base is free. The app is free. All this is free. We just ask if the Lord blesses you, encourages you, equips you, and informs you on a weekly basis through this ministry, we ask that you pray about becoming a monthly partner. And you could do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, easy, right there at the app, down at the bottom where it says donate, or you can go to the main website and give there electronically, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So as always, guys, thank you so much for coming on today. Again, if you're watching on any of these platforms, don't forget to hit the subscribe button, hit the bell for push notifications. Also, if you're watching by Facebook, please don't forget to share this. Don't forget to invite people into the message, the link, and what's so on and so forth. So until we're going to sign off for today. We'll be off tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday. We'll take tomorrow off. We'll be back on Thursday and Friday to close out this week of podcasts. Until then, may the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May His countenance shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.